We're turning to the Word of God as it's found in the book of the Song of Solomon and reading in the second chapter. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, commencing to read at the opening verse. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And God will bless the public reading of the Holy Scriptures to each of our hearts.
I think all of us here tonight are indebted to the ministry of Dr. Paisley, our Lord Banside, to his labors in the gospel, to his vision, to the sacrifices he made along with the founding fathers of this denomination. And it's remarkable that 60 years on, Dr. Paisley is here tonight to celebrate with us this very special occasion. And of course, we owe in our church a tremendous debt to the ministry and to the labours, not only in Ulster, but across the world, to our brother, Dr. Paisley, Lord Banside. And there's no better man to give us a historical review of the Free Presbyterian Church than the man who was there at the beginning, and he's still with us today. And we thank God for our brother, and he's going to come now, and he's going to give to us this historical review. Lord Bonson.
It's not very often I carry so many notes with me. Just wish there were pound notes for the future of our work, but praise God, he can supply those notes as well. I don't know how you feel tonight, but I know how I feel. Very humble, very aggrieved that I didn't do more in my years of ministry for the Lord. And also grieved as it yet our church has not put on the garments of power to shake this island of ours from end to end and to bring honor and great glory to the Son of His love. What we need is not better preaching or better preachers. What we need is a revival, a great revival of true religion. We need to see the fire ablaze in our own hearts, in our own families, in the streets where we live, in the towns and villages that we preach in. We need to see a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Another great reformation is needed. Hearts need to be warmed by the love of God ablaze within them. And that flame should dedicate them to the obedience to the commandments of God and the imperative need for every one of us to be a searcher and a winner of souls. A great preacher will not face the needs of today. What we need is a renewal of true religion. A movement of the third person of the Holy Ghost. A shaking of our own heart and mind and soul. And an obedience to God's work in God's way. When we turn the pages of history, we discover that in great movements of the Spirit, God had men and women who were willing to sacrifice everything so that they could be used by the Holy Ghost as His weapon to shake the church from end to end, to cause a fire to burn in the prayer meetings and in the church services and in the evangelistic cries. We need to see God raising amongst us those who, having laid their soul and body on the altar, are determined to go through with God and their debt to pay. God's men and God's women, God's boys and God's girls are needed. They are the requirement of the hour. Wanted men and women, boys and girls, for Jesus Christ, that He might take them and mold them and remake them and send them forth into the darkness of this present evil age with a mighty light that cannot be rejected, that cannot be refused, that will burn because in it is the very life of God himself. None can put out the light of God. None can stop the fire of the burning that God has lit. And that's what we need today. I would call you all to special prayer that we may beseech the throne of heavenly grace. And amidst the darkness, the light will shine. Amidst the death, the life will be manifested. And amidst all the things that seem to damage the cause of God, God will overrule them all. So that we will see something that the world needs to see. They need to see the mighty manifestation of the God of heaven. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting. We're expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. When I look over this congregation and look over this province of Ulster that I love with all my heart and soul, I talk to God intimately and solemnly. And I plead with him, do not forsake us. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. But, O God, in the mercy of thy mercies, meet with us. Let the fire that once started on the Ravenhill Road, when a few of us, four of us, met and prayed. We didn't pray for an hour. We prayed for a day. We prayed through the night. We prayed into the next night. And something happened. God breathed upon us. There was a turning of the tide. There was the beginning of a movement of salvation. And there are those sitting with us tonight who can thank God that those four and at one time a fifth who joined the party were bold in prayer, strong in pleading, and straight with God. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea. He rides upon the storm. And standing in this pulpit tonight, where I have been preaching for many, many years now, I would say, publicly, I would say with a heart that feels and with a prayer that cries, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? What we need is a great revival, a real revival. Something that cannot be passed over. Something that will give to the church the power and the grace and the fire of another Pentecost. May God do it for Jesus' great name's sake. Looking back and studying church history reveals that God, from time to time, has chosen ones. These chosen ones are not chosen by their fellows. They're not chosen because of their cleverness. They're not chosen because they are light. They're chosen because they're God's choice. And God makes choice of man. Sometimes I read books about great men of God, and there were things they did I wondered at. And there were issues that I have stood with them at the crossroads and said, why did this come upon them? Someday, when God opens the books of His divine wisdom, He'll reveal to us why and how these things have happened. And He will reveal that all has a planning behind them, which is the planning of a God who cannot fail and a God who will not fail. And so we take up our Bible and we take up our history books and we look out over the ages that are past and we look out on the future. And there's one thing we say, oh God, forsake not thy church. Leave not thy people. We deserve nothing of your grace. We couldn't have bought it. And we have in our own sins disgraced the one who loved us and hanging on the cross of Calvary. But God is a merciful God, a loving God, a kind God, a God that cannot fail. And I believe that He's going to move again upon us. I can see signs of the abundance of rain. And from my heart there goes up that cry, oh God, come with your mighty cleansing touch. Oh God, come with your mighty burning fire. Oh God, come with the whirlwind of your omnipotence. Oh God, come. And let self be crucified. Let the power of evil be smashed. Let the devil be trounced by He who on Calvary won the victory and saved us by His death. And I believe those prayers will be answered in God's way. For God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea, and He traces His pathway through the mighty billows of all the circumstances of time. May God tonight give us a holy silence. May God tonight give us a holy expectancy. May God tonight give us a vision. And I believe that the God who can do those things for us can bring those things to a full and mighty development so that we will see with our eyes, we will hear with our ears, and we'll feel with our hands that God is visiting and will visit his people. And God will bring in his elect to his church. And we shall rejoice in him. Could I just stop for a minute? And could I just say that there are three things that the Lord laid in my heart today as I was thinking of this service. And I was thinking of three things. We are reminding ourselves of three things. We're reminding ourselves, first of all, of the test of the rock. We are building on the rock of ages. And we need to remind ourselves of the test of that rock. Will it stand? Is it going to crumble? Or is it going to remain untouchable and as strong as omnipotence itself? The test of the rock. And then we're thinking of the strength of the stock. This is a day when we're all rejoicing in the giving of the Bible in the English language to this world of ours. What a Bible. No book anywhere can be matched with God's holy and precious and eternal word. It stands alone. It is the word of the living God who liveth and abideth forever. And that word will stand. It will never perish, because in it is the seed of God's eternal life. And then there's something else. There's a security of the lock. You know, God has locked things into our minds and our hearts. And they're locked there forever. I remember the day as a boy of 6 when he locked into my heart the truth that I was a sinner, that I deserved eternal death. That God would only be doing justice if he took me to his eternal throne. If he opened the record of my sinning and my sin. And if he consigned me to the depths of eternal hell and everlasting pain. All I could do would bow my head and say, I deserve it. But God did something more than that. He showed me my sins, and they were abominable. He showed me the hell that I deserved, and I trembled from head to toe. He showed me the depths of my corruption. And I wheeled before him, and I let great tears come to my face and down to my chin and drip on the floor. But he did something else. I looked, and the scene was changed. And he who was judge was a lover of my soul. And he who could rightly damn me for one sin had said, I'm forgiving them all. And he took me to a place somewhat uprising. and to a hill called Calvary. And he lifted my eyes, and I saw one hanging on the cross in bitterness and woe. I saw Christ the Savior, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I trembled. I cried. I yearned to feel his hand, to touch his blood, and to be tied to him forever in everlasting and unchangeable love. And thank God he did it. And today I stand before you a sinner saved by grace. Saved by grace. Oh, what a thing is that. Saved by the mercy of our God. Saved to serve him. Saved to obey him. Saved to suffer for him. Yes, saved to be his servant. Not to argue with his commandments. Not to question what he says. But to say every day, here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Help me to understand it. Help me to take it in what it meant for thee, the Son of God, to die for all my sin. In the depths of Calvary, in the depths of the cross, in the immeasurable by man of how deep that cross is, it is in that cross that we come to know the mighty baptism of the Spirit's power, and know a movement that is the movement of revival, true revival in the hearts of men and women. No wonder we stop and we say, Lord, let me abide under the shadow of your wing. Lord, let me hear thy voice speak these passages. And oh, in thy mercy, take me and cleanse me and consecrate me and command me. And all that you say to me today I'll do, I'll obey you. It's in that obedience we can see the start in our own lives of a fire of reviving. And we can see a commencement in the church where we serve and in the work that we do. Oh, thank God. The rock has been tested. And the rock has proved what a rock it is. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. What a rock he binds us to. May we anchor our souls tonight as believers afresh at that rock of ages. But there is a strength of the stock. The Church of Jesus Christ has in its possession the blessing of the gifts of the Spirit of God. And God has given to his people these gifts. Men can't analyze them. They can't explain them. They're beyond the efforts of the human brain to even start an explanation. But thank God, He has blessed us, listen, with all spiritual blessings. Oh, let those blessings flow, Lord Jesus, tonight. Flow into my prayer life. Flow into my obedience to your will. Flow into my dedication to be the man I should be and the person that you want me to be. May God do that. But thank God, there's a security to the lock. We'll never lose what God has given to us. Just think of that. You can't lose it. Oh, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But you can't lose it. Because revival is a baptism of the declaration of God that He will do His will through man and woman dedicated to Himself. Oh, that we may come tonight in this meeting and all of us will lay our bodies a living sacrifice on the altar of God and cry out, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I'm sure all of us have felt the power of the enemies of the gospel in past days. I'm sure the kicking of hell and the devil and the evil angels of the pit are a warning to us all. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the city, the watchman waketh not in vain. But oh, let me say a word of encouragement to you now. Let me say there are people praying. There are people praying. And they're praying for you. And they're praying for me. Their prayers are humble. It's not a matter of theology with them. It's a matter of surrender of their hearts to get for you the child of God, which you must have in this day. I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. I pray God that He will allow me to remain on this earth to see the manifestation of that rising of the power of God. Wouldn't it be nice to finish your days in revival blessing before you enter the place where there's eternal revival every day of the week and every hour of the eternal time that will then guide us in the service of Christ. I leave it with you. All I can say to you is this. Thank God that some of us met, not here, but in the old church, and knelt down and prayed and prayed and prayed and pray. The majority of those five men are in heaven, in in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's where they are. They're beyond the touch of man. But there's some of us left. Oh, that before we cross the river and pass into the city of God. Oh, before that happens, God give us a mighty manifestation. I sat on this road and I watched big men broken in heart, weeping, crying, and calling on God to save them. I remember calling a meeting of my Kirk session. I, of course, was young. I was a bit stupid at times. And I said to these men that were all old time men. Some of them had been saved through W.P. Nicholson in his early days on this very road. And I said to them this, could you please point out to me the worst sinner on the Ravenhill Road? And one of them looked at me and he said, Ian, what's wrong with you? I think I said, I'm asking a very sensible question. My job is to bring sinners to Christ. I'm asking you, who is the worst sinner on this road? They huddled together in that session room, and then they spoke. And he said, well, if you want to know, there's a man who has a record on this road for wickedness, sinfulness, drunkenness, and hell. He's a very clever man. He holds a very, very good place in the business that he runs. A very high place. But the rest of the time is the pub and the club and the filth of hell. I said, did you ever talk to him? No. None of you? No. Well, you don't expect much of the Lord. And they said, oh, he's not so easy to talk to. Well, I said, I am telling you men now, I am going to talk to that man. Well, they said, all we can do is wish you well, but we'll not be talking to them. Well, I said, I will. And from that day, I went home, and I knelt down, and I said, oh God, if there's only one man I win for God in the Ravenhead Road, I want it to be that man. I started to pray with him. I made his acquaintance. I talked to him. His wife, his daughter was sympathetic to our church. She used to come an odd time and she kept me informed about her father. And one day I was at the foot of the road and passing over and I heard a voice behind me. It was the voice of his daughter. And she said, Mr. Paisley, my father is very ill. I don't think he might make it this time. And he's asking for you. I said, why did you not come sooner? Oh, she said, I've been looking for you all day. And the places I was looking for you, I just missed you. So I went straight round to the home. They had brought a bed down from above. And they had put it up in the good room of the house. And when I went in, he pushed the clothes away that were covering his nose and his eyes. And he said, I want you to close the door. I don't want her to hear anything. I said, well, it'll not be hard to do that. So I closed the door, shut the door. He says, now lock it. I locked the door. He said, come over and sit down. And I came over and sat down. He burst into tears. He said, do you think Christ would take me? Do you think Christ would take me? I said, of course he will. Oh, tell me about him. I didn't tell him what I was taught in theology class, but I told him the old, old story of redeeming love. And we wept together, and he prayed, and he got saved by the grace of God. Saved. Everybody knew he was saved. He was down at the pub as soon as he could make it to tell that his pub club days and pub days were over. Saved by the grace of God. I have preached many, many times on this road, but the greatest time I ever preached was at that man's funeral. Hundreds turned up to it. And as they stood packing the streets around the home where he lived, God gave me marvelous liberty to lift up the blessed Son of God and the glorious Emmanuel, God with us. Big, strong men come up to me afterwards. With eyes running with tears, choking, held my hand. And I knew that God had started to work. And so he did. That day he started to work. And it wasn't one sinner. It was hundreds of came through to the Lord. How wonderful are the ways of God. I would like to see, and I tell God this, I would like to see that happen before I leave this road. I'd like to leave it with the cry of sinners coming to Christ. And the sobbing of sinners repenting and turning to the way of the cross. That is the revival that we need. And I can say to you tonight, we can have it. We can have it. It's promised in the book. We can have it. God grant that we'll have it in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads. Eternal Father, we thank thee for thy presence. It's thy presence that makes the feast. And O God, we pray that you'll touch us all, every one of us. Touch me, Lord, this night. Touch this congregation. Touch these ministers and our brethren of the Lord's work. And may we see a mighty, mighty outpouring of the Savior's power. Visit us, Lord, with revival. Visit us, Lord, with revival. Visit us, Lord, with revival. And to thee alone, shall all the glory be. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.